When I work with new coaches, the two words they use to describe themselves most often are excited and nervous. Even to an experienced coach, the new year can bring butterflies and back-to-school nightmares. Figuring out what to do to set yourself up for a successful year can feel like putting together a puzzle when you don't know what the picture looks like. Instead, let's start the year with a roadmap that tells you exactly what to do each day for the so very important first 20 days of school. The things you do the first month of school will make or break your coaching year. Let's do the right things together. Head to buzzingwithmissb.com/startup to join Instructional Coaching Startup. This course teaches you what to do each day for the first 20 days of school with a short video and all of the resources you'll need to set coaching goals, define your role, communicate with administrators, build relationships with teachers, understand your school's needs, and so much more. Join Instructional Coaching Startup today and get your game plan for instructional coaching. I even have a private Facebook group for startup coaches where we work through the course one day at a time together. You can share artifacts, you can ask questions, and get so much information about your coaching role by supporting each other inside of that Facebook group. So head to buzzingwithmissb.com/startup and join Instructional Coaching Startup today. What's your instructional coaching personality type? Have you ever wondered what superpowers make you a really strong coach and what areas you could strengthen a little with a little direction? Well, now you can find out. I created the What's Your Instructional Coaching Personality Type quiz to help you answer this very question. Just head to buzzingwithmissb.com/quiz with a capital Q to take the 2-minute quiz and get your coaching personality type sent right to your inbox. Even better, you'll get a playlist of podcast episodes that are handpicked just for you to help you hone your superpowers and strengthen your areas of growth. I'm so excited to share this quiz with you, so don't wait. Go to buzzingwithmissb.com/quiz and learn so much about your coaching self. Welcome to Instructional Coaching with Miss B, where we believe that every teacher deserves a coach and every coach does too. I'm Chrissy Beltran, an elementary teacher who became a coach, and I had to create my own coaching program that worked. Now I teach coaches how to design their coaching programs, build a school-wide action plan, and use differentiated strategies to support teachers. Plus, I've got a special spot in my heart for literacy coaches. Now let's dig into the episode. Hey, Coach. Welcome to episode 200 of Instructional Coaching with Miss B. I cannot believe that we are already reaching our 200th episode. It has been almost 5 years since I started this podcast, and that's wild. It's wild to me. For the 100th episode, I did a special episode where we kind of turned the tables, and I had my friend Laura, who I actually taught their son, and then I worked with Laura as her mentor teacher whenever Laura was an intern. So she actually got to ask me questions during my 100th episode, and that was kind of a special one. And so today for the 200th episode, I thought I would do something fun too. So if you are already in the Facebook group, Instructional Coaching with Miss B, you are all set to participate. And if not, please join us there in Instructional Coaching with Miss B on Facebook, because I've got a big event going on there in honor of this 200th episode. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give away $200 in prizes this week to people who play bingo with me. And it's easy bingo. This is the kind of bingo that I used to play with my students. It's classroom bingo. And so how it works is everybody gets their own little bingo board, and it has questions on it, and they have to fill out the answers to the questions about themselves. So it says, you know, what job do you want to do when you grow up? Firefighter. What is your favorite dessert? Cheesecake. And so they fill it out. And then everybody gets to turn in all their little answers. And then they have another board where they have filled out their answers. And then you use those little pieces that they cut up from their first board where they answered all the questions. And you use those and say, okay, what job do you want to do it whenever you grow up? Firefighter. And like two or three kids might be like, oh yeah, I wanted to be a firefighter. So they get to put their little, you know, counter on their square in their bingo board. And it shows them, oh, there's two other kids here who want to be firefighters. And so it's just kind of a way to get to know each other. I actually have that in my TBT store. It's a classroom bingo, a getting to know you activity. It's a fun one that I used to use as a teacher. So now we're actually going to do this as adults. Okay. But the thing is, you don't have to have my same answers to win. I considered doing that and thought it was a little bit narcissistic. So we're not going to do that. It's going to be random. So here's how it's going to work. In this episode, I'm going to share my 10 favorite episodes from the past 5 years, and I'm going to give you my answers to the bingo board just for fun. Okay. You get to play bingo by heading to the Facebook group Instructional Coaching with Miss B and grabbing the free bingo board, or you can get it at buzzingwithmissb.com/bingo. Either way, the board has to be submitted in the Facebook group by August 11th so that you can participate. It's editable, so you can type your answers in and take a screenshot, or you can print them out right on it and take a picture. It's just a fun way to get to know each other. And so I'm going to share this my answers in this episode, later in this episode. And then I want to see your answers in the Facebook group. And I'm going to select four winners to win $50 each in prizes. So I'm giving away a total of $200. So here's what I'm giving away on August 12th. And that's whenever I'm going to notify winners in the group that they have won. So be sure to submit your bingo board by then. I'm going to give away a bag of my favorite coffee from Global Coffee and a $25 gift card to Starbucks. That's for one person. I'm going to give away a package of my favorite hot cinnamon spice tea from Harney & Sons and a $25 gift card to Starbucks to a different person. Another person is going to win a copy of my favorite book, The Poisonwood Bible, and a $25 gift card to bookshop.org. And the last person is going to win sticky notes, Sharpie pens, and a $25 gift card to Amazon. So you can listen to the answers to the bingo board at the end of the episode if you're playing the game or if you're just curious about what my favorites and interests are. Now I'm going to share with you my 10 favorite episodes of the podcast and why I chose each one. I didn't choose the 10 most popular episodes necessarily. I chose my 10 favorites. And so some of them might be a little bit surprising, but I have good reasons for each and every one. So I'm going to tell you what they are. My 10th favorite episode is one that just came out recently. It was episode 174. Oh, sorry. That should say 194. I think it's actually episode 197. My goodness. 197, why instructional coaches need to intentionally build relationships with the three C's. And the reason that I love this episode is that building relationships can seem so complicated when you are trying to do it as a coach, because you are building this relationship that is not maybe typical. You're not their boss. You're not there. You are a colleague, but you're not like a grade level team member. So you're in sort of a different place. And so to do this kind of relationship building, it's really important to understand how that kind of relationship works. So I identified these three components that start with the letter C. And those are the three things that you focus on in order to build really great relationships. And you can listen to that at episode 197. It just came out not long ago. So that's my 10th favorite episode. My 9th favorite episode is episode 130, A Simple Behavior Management Plan for Coaches. And I love this one because whenever I was a coach, this stressed me out to no end. If you've been listening for any length of time, you know that whenever I was a new coach, I was very unnerved by certain classrooms that had really chaotic management. And so I felt uncomfortable going into those rooms, and I didn't know how to start, and I didn't know how to have those conversations about management that would help me support the teacher and the kids. So it took me a while to figure out how I could approach classrooms, and I had to make a system that worked for me and worked for kids and that was available to teachers if they didn't have a system that they liked at the time. So I came up with this behavior management plan. I love it because it's positive based. It's based on what we want kids to do. It's based on teaching kids explicitly what their behavior should be. And it's based on not tangible rewards, but just recognition of their behavior choices. So I love it. It was like life-changing whenever I came up with it. And I've used it in so many classrooms, and teachers have embraced it and made it their own as well. So that's my 9th favorite episode, episode 130, A Simple Behavior Management Plan for Coaches, because it changed my life. So I am hoping that it changes yours too. My 8th favorite episode is a special one. It actually is episode 9, Creating Structures to Support Coaching and School Change. And this episode was recorded with my previous principal. She was my first principal as an instructional coach, Ms. Lynn Mussel. And she was such a good principal and so good at creating structures. And so because of that, I enjoyed recording this episode so much. It was so much fun. We live in the same city, right? So she came to my house. This was right before COVID. People were working on my bathroom at the time. And so I had, like, you could hear the noise of a saw in the background if you listen, because I wasn't sure if I should leave the door propped open so that way they didn't slam the door all the time, or if I should leave the door closed and then you hear the door slam and you don't hear the saw. It was a challenging time, we'll say. So I left it open. It was right before we locked down, and I was so glad to be able to record this episode live with Lynn. It was a good one. A lot of people ask about this question: how do we create these structures? What can we do to support coaching? And Lynn is just the pro at that. So I'm so glad that I got to speak with her in episode 9, and I think you'll love that one. Number 7 is my PD planning process from start to finish, and that's episode 111. This episode is one of my favorites because I feel like PD planning can be overwhelming. And when you have not been responsible for creating PD from scratch and sharing it with your colleagues, you might feel like you're not sure where to start and how do you get people engaged and how do you make it meaningful. And I know personally that I have sat through a lot of professional developments that I did not feel like really considered me as a learner or what I knew or what I needed. So this PD planning process, I take you through one step at a time, how to plan PD from start to finish, literally. It's like from the moment you know you have to give PD and you don't even know what it's supposed to be on or when it's going to be, all the way to following up on that PD. And so this is my legitimate PD planning process that I have fleshed out over years of providing professional development at schools. And so I share that with you because I believe it's going to support you 100%. Okay, number 6 is imposter syndrome in instructional coaching. I had to choose this one, guys, because episode 131 is my most listened to episode of all time. And I know I said I didn't just base it on that, and I didn't. I based it on the fact that it's impacting coaches because they feel the same way. And because every one of us has struggled with imposter syndrome, unless we're like not emotionally well, right? If you never once feel like, I don't know if I'm doing this right, I don't know if I'm the best person for this job, why would anybody listen to me? If you've never felt like that, I don't know if that is completely normal. And maybe it is. I just have never met anyone who was normal who didn't have those thoughts once in a while. So imposter syndrome is happening in instructional coaching because we are suddenly in this position where we're pulled out of the classroom and we're supporting people who have sometimes done things that we ourselves have never done. I have never taught kindergarten. I have never taught in a bilingual classroom. I mean, I've modeled lessons in these rooms, but I have not taught them myself all year. So, because of that, you can feel like, wow, how can I even help these people? Why should they listen to me? And this episode helps you think about where these feelings are coming from, how they're helping or hurting us, and what you can do about them. And so that episode is a really special one to me because I'm pretty honest about how I felt about coaching through the years. And I hope that you love it too. That's episode 131. Okay. Number 5 is episode number 73, 10 roles coaches serve and what they look like in my coaching. Now, this episode is actually based on some work by Joellen Killian. And Joellen has this little, really brief little guide out about 10 roles that coaches serve. And I love it because it really helps you think about all the different kinds of things that go into coaching work. Because sometimes we only think about coaching cycles or we really focus on data. But the truth is, there are all of these different things that coaches do that are woven into our every day and every week. So this episode is so great because I enjoyed recording it and thinking through, okay, this is what that role is. The role is about facilitating, looking at data, but in reality, this is what it looked like in my coaching, and this is where I did those things. It really helped me think through my own work and what that looks like. And then hopefully, it will help you think about your own work and identify areas you're doing these different things and areas you can grow. So, check out episode 73 if that sounds like it's right up your alley. Episode 79 was one of the most fun episodes I've recorded. I just really like talking to Corey Campos of me. And I talked about this episode a lot. It was so much fun because Corey and I, we don't share a brain or anything, but we are very similar in a lot of things. We have kind of a similar perspective on things, and I feel like Corey brings a lot of fun and joy to her work. And so, because of that, I loved talking to her. So, video coaching with Corey Camp is the name of the episode. And in this episode, we talk about how to make video coaching work, what kinds of resources would be helpful, how coaches can use this tool effectively with teachers. We get through all of it. Like, what does it look like? I learned some things. I took away some things that have impacted my coaching. It was fantastic. So I loved recording that episode with Corey, and that's episode 79. I totally recommend that you check that out. Number 3 is Defining Your Instructional Coaching Role, episode 22. I have to share this episode with coaches all of the time because I get the question so many times from coaches, how do I start? What do I do first? And so many people jump to the relationships. And I did mention episode 197 was on this list, right? Building relationships with the three C's. But before you can build a relationship, you have to know what your job is. Because how do you build a good relationship based around your coaching role if you don't know what it is? We can't do it, right? That's what makes it so hard for so many of us. We get started, we get thrown in, we're saying, okay, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then we realize we don't even really know what we're doing here. So that is a very stressful place to be as a coach. And different bosses are going to have different ideas about this. Different schools are going to structure differently and look at your role differently. So we have to make sure that we are doing the job that we were hired to do and that we understand it fully. This episode will help you do that. It is one of my absolute favorites. I put it at number 3, big deal, right? So that's episode 22, Defining Your Instructional Coaching Role. Number 2 is episode 154, Instructional Coaching Schedules. This episode was really fun for me to record and put together because it consisted of a few different pieces. One of them was where I actually shared with you my actual schedule from a week of coaching. It's not super duper detailed because I didn't write down every little tiny thing because, you know, a million things happen in a day, but it does have the bigger things that I did during that day. So you could hear a little bit about what a real peek into a week of coaching looks like. And so because of that, I love that episode. And then I also got to talk to 3 different coaches about how they schedule their coaching time. So they shared and we got to glue those all together into one episode. And that was so fun. That's episode 154, Instructional Coaching Schedules. I recommend it if you're unsure about what is my job going to look like? How can I better use my time? There's some really great tips about prioritizing in there. Totally check that one out. And my number 1 favorite episode was a really recent one. It's episode 184, where I talk to Dr. Karen Hess. Dr. Karen Hess is brilliant. And so you've probably seen her book about rigor, right? And everybody jokes, ha ha, rigor mortis, ha ha ha. Okay. Everybody gets so tired of hearing this word, right? But I got to talk to Dr. Karen Hess and I got to hear about it from the horse's mouth, what the intention of this practice, of this kind of thinking is, and what these matrices really can be used for. And I loved this episode. So that's episode 184, Rigor by Design, Not by Chance. I have friends who are coaches and I called them up and I was like, look, I am not trying to toot my own horn here, but you have got to listen to this episode because she is so good. You're going to love it. And so if you have not ever seen Dr. Karen Hess in person, I recommend that you check it out. That's my favorite one. So those are my top 10 episodes that I just based on feelings. That's all it's based on is feelings. And so definitely check some of those out if you are in the mood for some really great episodes. I know there's some good stuff in there that's going to help you out. Now, as I mentioned, we've got Bingo with Miss B going on this week. So you're going to grab that board at buzzingwithmissb.com/bingo, or you're going to head to the Facebook group Instructional Coaching with Miss B. And I'm going to share with you my favorites. Okay. So there's, you know, it's bingo boards. There's a bunch of different things. And what I really am excited to share about is that these are things that I don't get to talk about that much. A couple of them I do, but a lot of them I don't. And so some of them I have mentioned absolutely on this podcast. Like, for example, the first one is a favorite movie. If you listen to my interview with Jim Knight, you know, my favorite movie is Little Miss Sunshine. Now, does this change? Absolutely. But Little Miss Sunshine is always in the top 5, no matter what. So I'm going with her. She's my number 1. There is something about the moment where, I mean, there are so many moments throughout this movie that I love, but the moment at the end where the family like comes together and they're all dancing, they're on stage and they're doing their awkward moves. I cry every time at that moment. That is not the only time I cry in that movie, but it is a killer scene. And Steve Carell as a dramatic actor, oh, he gets me. He's so good. So you got to check out Little Miss Sunshine. It's got a younger Paul Dano. Amazing. Favorite TV show is the next one. My favorite TV show is Veep. To me, it is the funniest show I have ever seen. And I'm a big person. I love dramas. I love really good dramas. Like I recently spent some time rewatching Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul in order. It was rough. It was a lot emotionally. I'm sure you can imagine. But something about Veep is just so classic and funny to me. So that's my favorite TV show. I also love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She makes me laugh. Something about her mean humor, it just kills me. So my favorite TV show is Veep. And if you are a comedy Julia Louis-Dreyfus fan, you will love it. My favorite children's author is Cynthia Ryland. And I talk about her all the time. If you get my emails for teachers, you know I am a sucker for Cynthia Ryland. Her language is so gorgeous. And whenever I used to teach fourth grade and third grade, I used many of her books as mentor texts for writing specifically. And we would spend so many times reading them and rereading them and modeling sentences after them, using them as mentor sentences, that my students could literally recite chunks of the passages. And it was beautiful because that made their way into their writing. So Cynthia Ryland, love her. Amazing. Where would I like to travel? I think I would like to go to Ireland. I have actually been to, like, as far as overseas goes, I've been to parts of Mexico. I have been to, it's overseas because it was like, I got in a plane. It's not really overseas. I live like right next to Mexico and I have been to that part of it as well. But this was like in the peninsula. So I have been to Rome and like small places around Rome. And I have been to London and small cities around London. And you know, it, various places in England, but I would really like to go to Ireland. I actually have, ancestors from Ireland on my grandma's side, my mom's mom. And so I think that would be really fun to go see this gorgeous place. And also, you know, I've been watching Dairy Girls. Who doesn't love Dairy Girls? And so, I think it would be neat to see. I just think that would be really fun. Have a good time there. I think the culture is interesting and the landscape is gorgeous. Okay. If I could have any superpower, what would it be? Well, I would not want to read people's minds because I do not need to know. I don't need to know. If you don't want to tell me, I don't need to know. And I don't want to be able to go into the past because I'll probably mess things up worse. What I would want to do is be super fast. And then I could get so much done and I would have time to enjoy myself. So like I could get my work done in half the time and then I could just go sit and like watch a show, or I could like do my cross stitch, or I could like read a book or take a walk. And maybe it would be like in the morning, I could get a bunch of stuff done before it got hot. So then I could go enjoy myself on a walk, you know, that would be fantastic. I would love to be super fast. What is your favorite thing to eat at a baseball game? If your answer, okay, I suppose hot dog would be an acceptable answer. But other than that, if your answer is anything but nachos, I don't know who you are, because nachos is the correct answer. Any day that I am at a place that has nachos, it is going to be difficult for me not to order that as my meal. I love nachos. And the best part is at a baseball game, you're invariably getting tostada chips with crappy cheese in a can. And that crappy cheese in a can is just like a big round can, you know, that you buy at Sam's or Costco. Why is it so delicious? It's not even cheese, I'm sure. I don't know what it is, but it's so good. And so that is and you got to put jalapenos on top, and you can get them with, you know, if they have other stuff like ground beef. I like ground beef on nachos. That sounds really good. But the essentials are just the chips and crappy cheese. Okay. Favorite musician or band? I do love the Beatles. I always have. But my favorite of all time, this guy, I love him forever. It's Paul Simon. And I recently learned that Paul Simon has a problem with his hearing in one ear. So he is no longer touring and doing concerts. And I am so sad because I have never seen him in person and he would be amazing to see. And he can't do it anymore because he can't hear himself. So he's not going to be on pitch anymore, right? It's just not going to work. So Paul Simon is the best. I love this guy and super sad to learn that I will never see him in concert. How many siblings do you have? I have three. So my three siblings we're each of us 5 years apart. So like I'm 5 years older than my brother, who is 5 years older than my next brother, who's actually like 5 and a half or almost 6 years older than my last brother. So we're all super far apart. And you've probably heard me talk about each of them. There's the one who lives in Austin and he has two kids, and I go visit him couple of times a year. He comes here because our kids are like desperately attached to each other and they want to be with each other all the time. There's the one who lives in Dallas, and he is a baseball coach for a high school. And he teaches history. And then I have my youngest brother who lives here where I live, and he comes over every Saturday night and we watch movies. So we watched we started back in, right before COVID actually, of 2020, we started watching movies that were in a series because we would spend like an hour trying to pick a movie and our time would be wasted. So what we said we would do is, okay, we're going to start watching Marvel movies. That's going to give us movie choices for like 7 months. So many, and we're going to watch them in chronological order. So we know what's coming next. So that's what we did, is we watched, not release date, chronological order, which was really fun. So we watched them in chronological order, and it took us really like over probably a year because I had a baby in the middle of that. And then COVID happened. And I was like, you can't come over for a while. So then whenever he could start coming over again, we picked it up again. And since then we've watched so many series of movies. Last night we started watching the original Planet of the Apes series. And so I'm really excited about that. And then I think we'll watch the new ones after that, because why not? So, favorite fairy tale. Cinderella. Whenever I was a kid, Cinderella was it. That was it. It was before The Little Mermaid. It was before Mulan. It was before all these people. It was Cinderella. Of course, Snow White existed, but Cinderella was the lady. And that was the only one that we had on VHS. We had a VHS player, and I had one VHS tape, and I would watch Cinderella, and she was the only one. So Cinderella. Oh yeah, there was Sleeping Beauty at the time, but I didn't see that till I was a little bit older because I didn't have it. Cinderella was the woman. So that is, that's my favorite fairy tale. Favorite tea I mentioned earlier is Harney & Sons Hot Cinnamon Spice. And the reason I started, there's a story associated with every one of these things, right? Please tell me you have a story associated with every one of your answers. The reason this is my favorite tea, or the reason I know it exists. Once I went to visit my friend Laura, whenever she was living in North Carolina, and we went to this little tiny tea house. It was so cute. And they were serving, they had like a menu with like, you know, 20 different kinds. And I chose Harney & Sons Hot Cinnamon Spice. I chose this tea because I was like, well, I like cinnamon. I like a little spice. I'm so excited. So I chose that tea and I loved it. And it was so delicious. And then I came home and I couldn't find that tea locally. So I was trying all different kinds and none of them were as good. None of them. So I actually looked up that tea house and I found their website and I was like, oh good. Now I can order this tea. So I started ordering the tea online from this little tea shop, and then they closed. And this was before Harney & Sons was at like Barnes & Noble and stuff. It was not everywhere. So they closed and I panicked. I was like, where am I going to get my tea? So I actually sent them a message. I said, I'm so sorry to hear that you're closing. I love this tea. Where can I get it? And they said, you can buy it from this site because this is where we get it wholesale. And they gave me the site Harney & Sons. And that is where I get my tea now. And I have bought it in big giant bags for years and it is delicious. I love it. Okay. Favorite way to exercise. I like to ride a bike, but you can't do that all the time, right? Because sometimes it's absolutely miserable outside, like right now. But I love to do exercise in water. I like to do water walking. I like to do water aerobics. So that is my favorite way to exercise. Again, can't do that all the time. I mean, I guess if you have like an indoor pool, but we don't, we belong to like a community pool, a neighborhood pool, but I just love it. I love water exercise. I don't like sweating. I really don't. So if I can do an exercise that helps me be healthy and I don't have to sweat, that's a win. Okay. What is your coffee order? My coffee order is so boring. You probably have cute little orders with like brown sugar stuff in them and delicious marshmallows. I don't know. Mine is a drip coffee or a pour over. I just like plain old coffee at these places and I get cinnamon in it, like sprinkled on top, and I get Splenda in it and I get creamer. And that is what I want. And my favorite creamer is powdered creamer. I know it's like, that shouldn't be allowed, but that's my favorite creamer because I feel like it makes it more dense. Oh, so yummy. So that is my coffee order. What is your favorite office supply? Well, there's a reason that one of the winners is getting sticky notes and colorful pens, because my favorite office supply is sticky notes and colorful pens. What is not to love here, people? Okay. Sticky notes is, that's the reason I became a teacher. Okay. My fourth grade teacher would put little notes on my papers that I would write for her. Like I wrote little books and I would give them to her, and she'd write little notes and say, too cute, and things like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be a teacher so I have access to these materials. What is your favorite kind of pet? My favorite pet is a cat. And I do love dogs and we have dogs. However, cats are the best because they don't want you all the time. And when they do want you, they're so cozy. And if you need to feel cozy, you put a cat on your lap. And the second that cat is done with you, they are done with you and they will go be independent. And it's fantastic. favorite genre to read? So I go back and forth. I love science fiction sometimes. I love, love, love fantasy sometimes. And I love historical fiction sometimes. So I think my favorite genre would be considered genre fiction, but that's kind of like a big category. But yeah, I love historical fiction and I love fantasy. Those are the two that I find myself oscillating between the most. My favorite season, again, I had a hard time here because fall and spring are both gorgeous, and they each of them last about less than a month where I live. So I think they're so precious because they're so short. So I couldn't choose. I had to go with fall and spring. What is your favorite color? Blue, which is why it is part of my brand. It was in our wedding colors. My husband actually picked it, and then I was like, yes, I do love this. You're right. So blue is my favorite color. It's not, I'm curious to see what people's favorite colors are. I mean, as adults, do we have favorite colors anymore? I don't know. I do. It's blue. Favorite time of year is not the same to me as favorite season. My favorite time of year is Christmas because I am obsessed with giving presents and making crafts and eating cookies, apparently. So I love Christmas. It's seeing it now that my kids are growing up and they're understanding a little bit more about it is really magical. But I have loved Christmas since my first Christmas, probably. It brings family time. My brothers come into town. We hang out and play games and eat cookies. It's fantastic. Favorite candy to eat at a movie theater. This is a very specific thing, right? We don't eat the same candy as in a movie theater as you would eat, like if you were to buy yourself something at a gas station, necessarily. My favorite candy to eat at a movie theater is Milk Duds because they are chocolate and they are caramel and they are chewy. So you can't gobble them down right away like you can with some things. And they go so well with popcorn. Delicious Milk Duds. What is a hobby you enjoy? Okay, I have been really making a point of picking up cross stitch again because for a while there, I kind of let it go. Well, I mean, babies. And so then it's tricky to do anything with your brain. So cross stitch is something that I have picked up and I've loved it. I made a really large, like, friends sampler cross stitch thing for my husband. I have yet to get it framed, but I do have it all done. And I'm working on making ornaments for my brothers. I finished my brother Ben's ornament and it's a little Gandalf and it's so cute from Lord of the Rings. And I'm working on my brother Matthew's ornament and it's the little mosquito trapped in amber from Jurassic Park. And I'm working on that right now. I'm super excited. Maybe I'll show you guys when it's done on Instagram. That'd be cool. What is your favorite treat? My favorite treat lately has been donuts. Donuts are amazing. They are doughy and they're whenever they're fresh, they're warm and they're soft and they have so much sugar in them. And you can get different kinds and toppings. Ugh, donuts. So many choices. What is your favorite animal? I don't know. I am the one who asked this question. I don't know. You know what I like to see when we go to a zoo that has them? I really like to see penguins. And when I was a kid, we went to SeaWorld. We haven't been. I don't know if I'm going to take my kids to SeaWorld. I don't know how I feel about it. But as a kid, I went and I loved the penguins because they had this massive enclosure. It was indoors and they had like so many different kinds of penguins. You would just walk through and see penguin after penguin after penguin. That memory is like stuck in my brain because I just loved it. So penguins, I think, have to be my favorite animal. I also really like to see hippos because they just look like they'd be squishy, even though you know they can kill you. Okay, what is your favorite book? Like I mentioned in the giveaway, The Poisonwood Bible is my favorite book. It is by, oh my gosh, my brain is freezing up right now. So she's written a bunch of books. The Bean Trees, she wrote Flight Pattern, Barbara Kingsolver, that's her name. And so she's written a ton of great stuff. She's a really good author, but my favorite book from her is the first one that I read, and it's The Poisonwood Bible. So moving. Such an incredible story. I think about this story all the time, even though it's not necessarily super relevant to my life in terms of the setting, but it's just amazing. And her language was gorgeous and her storytelling was just, bar none amazing. So Poisonwood Bible, I totally recommend it by Barbara Kingsolver. Now, my favorite author is not Barbara Kingsolver. I have to make things complicated. I think my favorite author is David Sedaris. David Sedaris is so flat and dry and funny, and he makes me laugh. And so I have so many of his books that I've read over the years, and I always look forward to another one. And the beautiful thing about David Sedaris is that whenever you read a book by him, you can hear his voice in your head. Because if you listen to one story by him, you have heard his voice, and it will never, ever go away. And yes, he's actually the brother of Amy Sedaris, the comedian, and she's hilarious and in so many shows, and she's just great. So David Sedaris is probably my favorite author. So talented and funny and clever. And I can't recommend him enough. So Those are my favorites. I want to see your favorites. I want to see, like, is there a new book that I should pick up and read? I want to know, like, what your hobbies are, because I only have room in my life for reading and maybe cross stitch, and I can't do both of them at the same time right now because my kids are little, but I want to live vicariously through you and your hobbies. I want to know if there's an office supply that I should love more than sticky notes and colorful pens. I want to hear it. So I want to see your answers. So go to the Facebook group. Take a picture or a screenshot of your bingo board and leave them in there. I'm going to choose those winners on August 12th and share them in the Facebook group. I cannot wait to do that. Next episode, we are starting our 90-day action plan. Okay. So it's going to be a series of episodes that are going to help you think about your action plan, how you're going to support your teachers, how to collect information to figure out if you're creating a good action plan, how to check your progress, all on your 30, 60, 90 day plan, all of these things. Okay. So our first episode in the action plan series is how your job description will set you up for success or not. Because if you don't know what your job description is, you cannot build an action plan that thoroughly supports your job description. So that's going to be next week, episode 201. Definitely listen to that episode. Thank you so much for listening to the 200th episode. Thank you for being here, coaches. If it were not for you guys, obviously, there would be no purpose in this podcast or in anything I do. So thank you for participating, for hanging in there, for listening to all of my ridiculous answers and stories. And until next week, happy coaching. Now that you've got so much to think about, head over to buzzingwithmissb.com to grab some free downloads, become a VIB, and check out the podcast show notes. Happy coaching.